Okay. Hi, guys. Thanks for coming. I'm Jennifer Yu. I'm a program manager on the Internet Explorer engineering team, and I work on graphics. And today we're going to talk about modernizing your website using SVG and HTML5. So how many of you in here have heard of SVG? Have you heard of it prior to Tuesday's keynote? All right. How many of you guys have actually used it? Okay, a fair bit. And how many of you have used it to create like interactive experiences? Okay, just a couple of hands. So the agenda for today, I'm going to talk through the basics of SVG to catch up anyone who's unfamiliar with it, who hasn't really played around with it at all. Talk about SVG scenarios, when you'd want to use it, why you'd want to use it. Cover how you might want to start creating interactive SVG, show you how simple it really is with a couple of code samples, and then talk through best practices, so avoiding common mistakes that you know lots of people make to save yourself some time, and then talk about fallback support, what to do for browsers that don't support SVG. So, the basics of SVG. SVG stands for a scalable vector graphic. Every shape in an SVG graphic is based on is described by its geometry, which is what makes it scalable. It's an XML format, which makes it really familiar, easy to learn, similar to HTML. And like I said, it's XML, so that makes it readable. You can open it up in Notepad and edit it from there. This also makes it accessible, since screen readers can pick up all that text inside. With SVG, you also get this full, really rich DOM support. So everything in your graphic is reflected in the DOM. Any changes to your DOM are reflected in the graphic. It's a retained mode rendering, which is contrasting to, for example, HTML5 Canvas, which is immediate mode rendering. So you get a lot of rich functionality with the full DOM support. So a little bit of history about SVG. The first draft was published in 1999. And it's been floating around since then, mostly largely static documents. But now it's a part of the HTML5 spec. So you can include SVG in HTML. And it helps enable this newer generation of the web with all these interactive experiences. And SVG is supported natively in IE9 and other modern browsers, so you don't have to force your users to install plugins. So we'll just run through a really basic example of SVG. Okay. So can you guys see that? Yeah? Okay. Okay. So here we have a really, you know, basic HTML file, and I've just dropped in my, you know, SVG element. Like I mentioned, it's a part of HTML5 now, so you can just, you know, include it. And let's make a circle. So it's as simple as, you know, adding a circle element and then specifying its center point, CX, CY, and radius. And so now you'll see we get a nice little circle on the screen. And it is very similar to HTML. You can kind of compare this to a div. I could color it by changing the fill of it, which is similar to the changing the background color of a div, so I end up with an orange circle. I can also add a stroke similar to the border of a div, and I end up with, it's kind of hard to see on the screen, but a mild orange stroke. I can also give it an ID that makes it much easier to access via the DOM, so I'm going to call the circle my circle, because it's mine, and add an event handler to it. And I'm just going to pull in the script. And so this is basic script. It just runs through the colors of the array. And as you click on it, because of this event handler, it'll alternate the colors of the circle. And as you can see, the way that we're changing the color is by using set attribute, which is, you know, similar to how you might modify an attribute in HTML. So now if I refresh it, I can click on the circle and just cycle through colors. And it's really that simple. Okay. So how might you want to include this SVG on your web page now that you have a basic understanding of how you might want to create it? So there's standalone SVG, which is similar to a PNG or GIF that you would reference externally. You can include this via the object tag, which is the method that we'd recommend the most. And you can also include it through a few other ways, including the image tag, but you lose functionality like scripting. So that event handler that I showed you, you wouldn't, and the script that was running, that would not work in an image tag. Similarly, you can also include it wherever a CSS image can be included. For instance, you can use it as a background image. You can also include it inline, as I showed you with the circle. It was inline in HTML5, and that's one of the like highly recommended ways of doing it. Okay, so when would you want to use SVG? It exists on the web today in sort of small corners of the web. You can, in the top left corner, we have this election map. This election map actually came from the New York Times blog site. And if you're close enough and you can see it, the mouse is actually hovering over the state of Pennsylvania, and you get more information specifically about Pennsylvania. It's interactive. In the bottom left corner, we have gaming. And as I mentioned, there's full DOM support. So SVG makes it really easy to modify the position of a shape simply by changing its DOM, and it's reflected on the screen for you. You don't have to manage that yourself. In the top right corner, we have an image from Bing Maps. So if you navigate to Bing or Google Maps and look up driving directions, that path that's drawn, that's actually SVG. And so if you want to create small dynamic updates, SVG is great for that. In the bottom right-hand corner, we have interactive stock charts. So with SVG, you can create, this cool custom image, that path that you see. But on top of that, the text that's in there, it's all text. So a search engine can pick it up, an accessibility tool can pick it up. So even if somebody can't actually see the information, they may still be able to obtain it. So when might you want to use SVG? Okay. High-fidelity vector documents is a great scenario for it. So maps, for instance, where you might want to be able to print it out with high fidelity, zoom in, zoom out, see crisp borders, that's a fantastic scenario. Organizational charts, and I have a link to one over here. Okay, so organizational charts are a great scenario for using SVG. This example that I have over here, as you can see, this is an organizational chart of the UN body. And when you're zoomed out like this, you can see the relationships between the various UN organs with each other. They have arrows describing these relationships. This is something that you can't really do with HTML alone. And unlike a raster image, if I zoom in on this, if I want to find out more information, I can see it. The text is still crisp and clear. And so SVG is a great format for that. Floor plans. So okay. So here's a floor plan. This is actually the floor plan of my building. And as you can see, when I hover over it, I get, I can find things like my office over here. I get this sort of interactive experience. I can search for a room, and it'll highlight it for me. So all that text is, still text. This floor plan actually comes in a PDF version too, but I lose that interactivity. I lose the ability to go over and see who's in which office. Technical diagrams. Boeing and AT&T, for instance, they use this today for a lot of their technical documents, for like CAD drawings. Again, SVG is all based on geometry, so you get that precision. Okay, some more uses of SVG. Vector images, sort of similar to vector documents, but a little bit different. Logos that you might want to print out at various different resolutions. You can, if you save that as a single SVG file, you maintain that high graphic fidelity at any you know, zoom size. You can print it out on a giant banner, on like a T-shirt, or keep it as, you know, an icon on your web page, and it's just, you know, a single file, and it retains all that information. Diagrams. So actually, a lot of the diagrams on Wikipedia today are available in an SVG format. This makes it easy to edit. So multiple users can edit it. It scales really well. It prints really well. User interfaces. Canon actually uses SVG as the format for a lot of their user interfaces. You can create custom shapes, things that are a little bit more fun than rectangles. CSS styling applies to it. And so it's really easy to just drop in a new theme and completely change, you know, the appearance of your SVG, your graphic. It also enables really easy interactivity, as I showed you earlier with the circle example. Fancy text is another good use of SVG. So a lot of times on the web today, you'll find raster images in the place of text if somebody wants to make it look a little bit nicer. With SVG, you can keep that text as text. You have much more functionality than you would in HTML and CSS alone. You can color your text with gradients and patterns, which is something that you can't do with CSS and HTML. Okay, so how would you go about starting to use SVG? The first thing that you might want to pay attention to is the Viewbox attribute. So the Viewbox attribute establishes a coordinate system for your SVG element. This allows it to enable really easy scalability. For example, if you look at this, okay. So the Viewbox takes four parameters. The first two parameters describe the top left x and y coordinates. The following two describe the height and the width of your coordinate system. And with positive x going off to the right, and positive y going downwards. So here's just an example of something that takes advantage of this. So this scales to the size of your browser, and as you'll see, it's pretty clear. Well, if you're close enough and can see it, pretty clear at any resolution. Here's another example of that. So this is the Red Bull logo, as you can see. It's a little too big, so if I want to make it a little bit smaller, if I want to just, like, let's say, reduce the height and width, I end up with a clipped logo. The way to avoid doing this is by adding that Viewbox that I mentioned. So if we throw in a Viewbox here, we can keep that smaller height and width, and my logo has now scaled due to the fact that I have established my coordinate system. Okay. Okay. Styling and hit detection. As I mentioned, SVG is you can think of it as, you know, similar to HTML. CSS styling applies to it, so you can just drop in a style sheet. And that'll change the graphic. This is all done on the client side, so you don't have to do any of that processing, you know, yourself on the server side, or have somebody open up a new graphic in a graphic editor just to edit it. Hit detection is also really great. With, you know, raster images, you're often limited to just rectangles or rounded rectangles now. But with SVG, your custom shape, you know, defines the shape for hit testing. So if we take a look at this example, this is a map of the U.S. As you can see, and if we take a look at the markup for that, It's, you know, an SVG element with a bunch of different shapes. Each state is described by a path shape, and each shape is given the ID of the state that it represents, and it's also given a class name to describe what color the state is. And as you can see, there's four different colors, so we have four different classes. It's really simple to just add. So here we have the class describing the class selectors describing the color of the state. We can also apply pseudo selectors to it, such as hover. And so now, when I refresh my page, I can just hover over each shape, and it'll turn black like the CSS markup describes. And as you can see, I get that really great precision across state borders. I can also just as easily drop in another style sheet. And as you can see, the image just completely changed. The colors of the states are all different. And it's all described by, you know, a single CSS file. This is less than 30 lines, could easily be compressed to fewer than that. And that's all that needs to be done to modify the shape in this way. And you can imagine having various thematic maps, perhaps describing data over time, where dropping in a new style sheet would be a really simple way of just updating your graphic to reflect the data. Okay. So fancy text, as I mentioned, it's more capable than HTML and CSS alone. You can fill it with, you can color it with gradients and patterns. You can make your text follow directions that are not axis aligned, so you can make it follow custom paths. In some cases, it can be easier to use than raster images. If you want to modify your text, it's as easy as just modifying your text. And reusing styles is also simpler because, you know, CSS applies to SVG. So let me pull up another example. Okay. So here's an example of a page that uses SVG text. So this part here is actually HTML text, and we have this part over here is SVG text. And as you can see, it's selectable. It's really text. It's surfaceable to a search engine without, you know, needing to do anything special. It's just text. So how do we create this? Okay. So I have a gradient defined, and that defines the color. And I'm not sure if you can tell, but there's a subtle gradient that goes from a lighter orange to a darker orange here. I'm applying it to my SVG text via a CSS selector up here, which also describes, you know, its font size, the font family. In this case, we're using WUF fonts, so you can, you know, create your custom font. And apply it to the SVG text. I've also defined a stroke, so you can give your text, you know, like a stroke or border. And if I want to apply the same text, if I want to make the text down here look similar to the one above, it's as simple as, you know, copying some of my SVG here, and so that the CSS selectors will apply to it. So that I can get, you know, custom paths that the text is following. And you'll see that the text here will also just follow that path. It's that simple. And so how does following the path work? Well, I have actually defined a path down here. You'll notice it's inside this defs element. So anything inside the defs element does not render on the screen. It's used for later if I wanted to use it, so that you can see what that path looks like. I can use this use element. And so, and that's the path that my text is following. I can define it for later. I can also modify my CSS style to have the text, you know, take on a different appearance. And so for instance here, I've actually referenced a different pattern that I've defined down below, and you can see that the text has changed from that orange gradient to a green checkerboard color. And okay, so animating SVG with script. I can go over a basic clock example here. Okay, so here I have a clock. I'm gonna start it out with. I have a clock. It's not fully there yet. I have the clock face defined thus far. And so, let's see, what do we need on this clock? We're missing some tick marks. And you know, the 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock tick mark all look very similar. So we'll just create that once and use it multiple times. And so to do that, I can add this rectangle to my depth element, and as I mentioned earlier, it won't render on the screen until I ask it to. And so we're going to use that element here, and you get this single tick mark on the screen. And so that's the 12. That represents 12 o'clock. 3 o'clock is very similar to 12 o'clock. It's just rotated around 90 degrees around the center. And so we're doing that here. We're using the tick mark that was previously defined, and we're just going to apply a transform to it. Here I'm using a rotate transform. It's rotating 90 degrees around the center, which is 50-50. There's other transforms available, like translate, move things around in the XY plane. You can also apply your own custom matrix for transformation, or if I want to make this like a Salvador Dali painting, I could add a skew transform. But here I'm just going to use rotate. And so this tick mark represents the 3 o'clock tick mark. This one, 6 o'clock, we're rotating around 180 degrees, and 9 o'clock. And so now I have, these tick marks on the screen. They're looking a little short, though. So let's just modify our original definition and refresh the screen. And you'll notice that I only made one change. And since all those other tick marks are referencing the original rectangle, they all just changed and those changes were reflected on the screen. Similarly, I'm just going to add a smaller tick mark for the other hours, and similarly apply the same sort of paradigm. And so now I have, my full clock face. Still missing a few things, like some clock hands. So I'm going to add that. And so there's my clock hands. And now how would we go about animating this, for instance? Okay, I'm just going to throw in some script. There's actually, so the reason that the script is all gray, this is actually in an SVG file, and so you need the zdata tags to make XML happy. So the SVG tag actually has an onload handler over here, which will call my method to, start updating the clock. And so we get the clock, we get the current time about every second, calculate the angles. And again, the way that we're updating the graphic is by using set attribute. So you're modifying the transform attribute and modifying the rotation, setting it with a string. And so now if we go back to our clock, you'll see that it's lunchtime. Okay, so we'll cover a few of the best practices. First tip, always, always include the HTML5 doc type. So as you probably saw in the previous examples, there's the HTML5 doc type at the beginning of all the HTML documents. This tells your browser that you're in, an HTML5 document. It's true. You need this for like standards behavior. And if you're on the internet, you should also be including this meta tag below to tell your browser to render in IE9 mode. Oftentimes, people will be wondering, like, you know, I'm in IE9. It supports SVG. Why don't I see it? Well, you can check to see if you're in IE9 document mode with the F12 dev tools, and just make sure you're including the right doc type. Another thing, so the SVG overflow in HTML5. The default overflow of most elements in HTML is visible. So similar to the div tag, where if your text is overflowing the width and height of your div, you'll still be able to see that text. Similarly with SVG, if your content is overflowing your SVG element, you'll be able to see it. So if you don't want it to overflow, you should specify that via the overflow attribute, either in the specific SVG element that you care about, or if you want to affect your entire document, you can just include it in your CSS block for the page. So default text positioning. The Y attribute refers to the baseline of text. And for any designers out there, this is actually pretty intuitive, I'm sure. But for the rest of us, not as much. So make sure that you're specifying the Y attribute for text. Otherwise, you may spend a good deal of time wondering where it went. Other suggestions. So for accessibility, as I mentioned, it's all XML, it's all text, but these shapes, they're described in numbers and things that aren't really meaningful to users. So how do you make it more meaningful? Well, you can include a title and description tag on every SVG element. It doesn't need to be on everyone, but you can include it on everyone. And so at least for your top-level SVG element, you should be specifying a title similar to, title or alt text of an image, of a raster image, also a description. And, you can make that even more granular by specifying it on various different elements. Another thing you can do, use the focusable attribute. If you specify focusable equals true, this allows someone to tab through to that element, and that element will get focus. So you can use the onFocus event handler to capture that and execute some script. Namespace inclusion in SVG files. So you don't need to do this in HTML5, but if you have an SVG file, it needs to conform to XML format, and for that you need to include the namespace. So for all SVG, you should be including the SVG namespace, which is specified over here. And if your SVG contains xlink colon href, you should also be including the xlink namespace. And if you're not really sure, you can just include both of them. That's fine. And as you can see it below, that's what your SVG tag would probably look like in an SVG file. Okay. Another thing, you can take advantage of the SVG DOM. So what I showed you earlier with set attribute is actually using the core DOM. That's what you would use on HTML. It's often simpler. It's more consistent. It's familiar again because it's like HTML. It's like what you would use on HTML. It's always you set attribute. Parameters are your attribute name and then your attribute value. It's slower though. So if you take a look at the first example, that's a string. They're small strings, but they're still strings and they need to be parsed. Whereas with the SVG DOM, you can access the values much more directly, which will make it faster. And if you take a look at the second example, using set attribute can often just be more complex. You have to do all this additional parsing that you wouldn't need to do if you could get at those values more directly. So if you can, you should try to use the SVG DOM. The one caveat about that, though, is that SVG DOM's a little more complex, not as consistent. Okay, first thing to keep in mind. Most SVG DOM objects, they contain a base component and an animated component. If you're scripting any animation, though, you always want to use the base value. Might be a little confusing, but just bear with me. But yeah, you want to use the base value for scripting. So there's a few different SVG DOM types. You have your presentation attributes, which are a little more straightforward. It's just the name of your element, dot style, dot name of attribute. And that's how you can access it. That's how you can modify it via script. You also have values. So for instance, radius, it's a single length, single dimension, just one number. You can access it via dot r, dot base val, like I mentioned, the base using the base value, dot value. There's also objects. So for example, viewbox that I showed earlier with the four parameters, all four of those are reflected in the DOM for the DOM object for the viewbox. So if we want to get the x value, for instance, in that viewbox, we'd be using my SVG dot viewbox dot base val, again, the base value dot x. And then you also have lists. So in the clock example that I showed you with the transform, I only used a single transform there. But you can apply multiple transforms and chain them together. And the DOM representation of that transform is always a list. So if you want to access a single one of those transforms in the DOM and modify it, the way you would go about doing that is using dot transform, again, dot base val, and then dot get item in the index of the item that you want. All right, actually, going back, let's actually go back to that clock example that I was mentioning. So here I'm using set attribute, but I could just as easily be using the SVG DOM that I mentioned. So instead of setting, instead of serializing my strings, I can just more directly put this information into the methods that will update the transforms accordingly. So if I delete this, my clock is, I've refreshed the page, but my clock is still running fine. And so, like I said, you get this transform list, you're getting the base value of that transform list, you're getting the specific item, which in this case is rotation, since we initialize them with rotations. And then I'm just modifying that rotate transform by setting it to a specific rotate value that reflects the current time. So in general, if you're performance-minded, use the SVG DOM unless you're changing, a ton of DOM objects in the list. It'll generally be more performant. And if you're not really sure of whether the object type that you're looking at is, a value versus an object versus a list, you can always consult the specification, since there's a section on DOM interface at the end of each chapter. But again, if this is a little too complex or too tricky, you can always just use set attribute. It's a lot simpler. If performance isn't a huge deal to you, if those minor gains don't matter that much, you may just want to use set attribute instead. Okay. Another thing. There's the .svgz format, which is compressed SVG or GZIP. Compressed SVG, it will reduce bandwidth use over the network, and we've seen people do this before. If you are using this format, make sure you include this line in your response header. Otherwise, the browser won't know it's gzip encoded. And sometimes your SVG won't show up, which is something that I have seen people do. Specifying MIME types for your .svg and .svgz files. So the correct SVG MIME type is image slash SVG plus XML. I've seen various other forms floating around which are not correct and will result in your SVG not showing up. So just make sure your server is configured to serve the right MIME type for .svg and .svgz files if you're planning to use standalone SVG. Okay, so here's some popular tools for creating static SVG. Inkscape's a great one. It's free, freely available. Adobe Illustrator is another good one. Microsoft Visio is great for creating more like diagrams and schematics rather than graphic images. And if you're planning to use Visio, just please come talk to me afterwards. And here's a bunch of great libraries that actually use SVG, and I recommend playing around with them, seeing what they have to offer. So fallback behavior. What do you do if your users have older versions of IE? So first of all, make sure you're using feature detection and not browser detection. This way, you're not making assumptions based on the browser whether or not it supports certain features. So SVG has a whole list of feature strings, and you can use this one to check to see if the browser supports SVG. So using document.implementation.hasFeature and that feature string that you see up there to check to see if the browser supports SVG. This way you can provide that SVG experience for folks that have a capable browser and then only fall back if they don't. There's also static image fallback. You can use the object tag for built-in fallback support. So as you all know, the object tag is special in HTML. If the browser does not support the MIME type specified in the type attribute, it'll fall back to the content inside. So here, if you had an SVG logo, you wanted it to scale nicely, you can include that as, the search for, or data for your object tag. When IE9 comes along, it'll see that it supports the image slash SVG plus XML MIME type, and then it'll render the SVG version of the logo. When IE8 comes along, it doesn't recognize the MIME type specified, so it'll fall back to the PNG version, and you might lose some graphic fidelity there, but at least your users are getting something. There's also a few fallback libraries available. You have your VML fallback support. So VML stands for Vector Markup Language. It is a supported in older versions of IE, like IE8 and below. So if your users don't have SVG support in older versions of IE, they might have VML support. A lot of the functionality is fairly similar across both languages, but the languages themselves are different. So you can replicate a lot of the functionality that you want to achieve in SVG through VML. These libraries will actually abstract that process away from you, so that way you don't have to worry about it yourself. So Raphael.js is a fantastic library for that, as is the Dojo toolkit. You also have Flash fallback with the SVG web library. But with this, you lose CSS support, which is one of the great things about SVG, being able to apply CSS to it, being able to theme it. You don't get that, so we wouldn't really recommend that as a first course of order. So some more examples of combining SVG with HTML5. So this actually comes from our test drive site. So this particular example comes from originally came from elsewhere, but comes from our test drive site. And you can see that there's the SVG image over, oh, wrong screen, sorry. You can see that there's the SVG image over here, and as you hover over it, the HTML data, or the information on the right, changes to reflect what you're hovering over. And here's another basic example of that. Okay, so this is like again like a more sort of stripped down version of it. So here I have a different map, a smaller map. It's the map of the Galapagos, and as you can see, when I'm hovering over the images, I have this text showing up depending on which area I'm hovering over with. That'll give me, you know, more information. It's kind of ugly, but you know. You guys can probably do a better job making it look nice. And so the way that this is done, again, I have a bunch of different path shapes, each of them describing an island. And with hit testing on them, with event handlers on them, which are added up here, I can easily make those changes and update my HTML like div tag to contain all the to contain the description of the particular island that I'm hovering over. And so you can see how this could be extended to make a more interesting map with more interesting data, such as German election map data, something more useful for people. Okay. Going back to... Okay. And going back to the slides. Let's see. We have a few calls to action for you. So please just start using SVG. Learn how to use it. Just try using it. Try finding like a graphic on your site that could be enhanced with SVG. You gain the ability to print high fidelity documents. You can zoom in and out. So that's one scenario where you might want to do that. And it should be fairly easy to do so. You're just changing perhaps the format of something. And again, since it's natively supported across all browsers, you don't have to make your users install plugins, such as a lot of PDF files could probably be better served in SVG, for instance. And also, just try creating some interactive SVG. There really isn't a whole lot there out there on the web right now. So really lucky to pioneer this front. The tools are there. I mean, you guys can create it. It's not that difficult, as I think I showed you. So creating interactive SVG would be great. You can use the libraries and tools that I mentioned earlier for fallback management. This way, you don't have to worry about dealing with that yourself. You can just let the library do that abstraction for you. And maybe even create your own libraries. And I think that's all I have. So any questions? Oh, yeah, so, the maps themselves, I didn't actually create because I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible artist, but, let's see, so I think maps in general, you can get that data, the boundaries of countries, et cetera, from elsewhere. These maps actually came from Wikipedia because, as I mentioned, they do have a lot of SVG files up there, and I modified it. I modified it to work with the demo that I had. You definitely wouldn't want to be creating these custom shapes by hand. They're fairly difficult. Like the map of the U.S., Colorado, maybe you'd be able to figure out the path of, but like my home state of New Jersey, it'd be really hard pressed to find someone who could tell me the geometry of the state. So for that, I would definitely be using tools like Inkscape and Illustrator that I mentioned. or converting from already existing data into an SVG formatted path data.
Hi. Right there.
Oh, sorry.
What's the status of SVG fonts?
What?
What is the status of SVG fonts?
So SVG fonts, at least in the working group, they're pretty much like deprecating it, they're making it optional, so that way SVG viewers are not required to support it. We believe that with WUF fonts, it provides a more consistent experience with HTML for developers. So using WUF fonts instead of SVG fonts still enables customizability of your font.
So what would be the process of embedding a font in a similar way like a PDF would embed the necessary fonts and glyphs for any viewer to be able to render them? Okay. Do they have to be externalized as TTF, like TrueType fonts?
To a WUF font. Yeah. You could use WUF fonts.
Okay.
Web open format fonts.
When you were discussing the fallback support, I was wondering, because you had the SVG as an image, I was wondering if it would be better to embed it as, or not embed it, but has the SVG code inline, because you have the alternate text in there, like the title, description, stuff like that, and if your browser doesn't read the SVG image, it'll just fall back to the, in that case, PNG image. So would that not have the additional text?
It really depends on what kind of content you're trying to support, but the text would then be surfaceable if you embedded it inside the object tag. However, users still wouldn't be able to see the image unless you also include that too. So if you wanted to do that, that would probably be a good option.
If you were to create a rich multimedia presentation with animation and colors and things uh-huh. moving around, what would you use, SVG or Canvas?
If I wanted to create, you're talking about presentations, so I would probably use SVG for that because, again, like the text is much more easily surfaceable, it'll be great no matter which screen you're on or what the screen resolution is. Whereas Canvas, you have to worry a little bit more about that.
How about performance-wise?
Performance-wise, it really depends on the specific thing that you're trying to do. If you have like tons and tons and tons of animations and tons of objects, Canvas might be a better option for that. But for the most part, what I imagine most presentations to be, and actually people have already been creating, multimedia presentations in SVG. I would probably go with that.
Let me clarify. I didn't mean presentation like a business presentation. Okay. I meant something more like a cartoon, say, like something like that.
Okay. A video cartoon?
Something really complex with things moving, like people moving or landscapes or things like that are animated.
Okay. So in that case, you might even consider combining both of them. If you have a few main characters, for instance, that you want to move around easily and just update the DOM to do that, you could use SVG for that portion, perhaps, and maybe Canvas for the background if you have a ton of different objects and like a complex landscape that they're moving through.
Like for a music video, you would combine both?
For a music video?
Yeah.
So a music video usually has people, right?
Yeah, people, but there are background shapes, colors, things.
For a music video, as I said, for the purposes of having that high resolution, SVG would probably be good for that. But there really is no like black and white between whether you should go the SVG route or the Canvas route. You can try, combining both of them. Take advantage, use one to its advantages in the scenarios where it's present. And part of that might be better served with SVG and part of that might be better served with Canvas. You mean like Expression Blend or?
No.
I actually am not sure about that. Even if I was, I'm not sure if I could answer. So, okay. All right, thanks for coming. If you have any more questions, feel free to contact me. My information's on the slide deck. Yeah. Oh, and please fill out the evaluation form and...